At 7:30 a.m., Nia counted minutes like money. The bus tracker froze. The baby wiped oats on her sleeve. Daycare texted last night. Staffing shortage. New pickup is 4 p.m. Her office wanted 3 days on site. Her commute was 40 minutes each way. She did the math again. $13,128 a year for care. Gas, parking, late fees, diapers. If she stayed late to be seen, she might pay $20 for 10 minutes after 4. She had already sold the car seat she didn't need in order to buy a stroller she did. Her manager said visibility mattered. The center said doors lock at 4. Headlines said women were still more likely to work from home, but mandates were changing that. Nia clipped her badge to her thrifted blazer and kissed her son's curls. This was not a choice between work and family. It was a charge she paid to keep both. Chapter 1, 3 days in. Nia moved fast through the daycare vestibule and into the city's morning air. The sky was clean blue after last night's storm. Her tote slapped against her hip. She checked the time. 7:42 a.m. On the train, she scrolled through the waitlist email. Spot number 31. She had been on it for 4 months. The director called her love and promised to update the list every Friday. Staff turnover didn't care about lists. She pulled a budget note from her phone. Annual care, $13,128. After-tax take-home, modest. Commute costs, not modest. If she lost the job, the number would be zero. If she kept it, the number might eat the raise she hoped to ask for. Across the aisle, a delivery worker folded his hands and slept. A woman in scrubs stared at a blank screen. Everyone looked like they carried something heavy that didn't fit in a bag. At the office, the lobby security guard nodded. Morning, Nia. Morning. How's the little man? Growing, she said, and smiled like growth was cheap. Upstairs, the badge light flashed green. Her manager had already reserved a huddle room to go over the forecast deck. In person reads better, he said. We'll be quick. She kept her face open. Great. He paused. You good? Daycare changed hours. I'm on a 4 p.m. clock. Understood, he said, then added. Let's make sure senior leadership sees you this quarter. They ran the numbers. The model said the team would beat targets if travel stayed low. The team had stayed low because flights were expensive. Everything was expensive. She trimmed a column and cleaned a chart. The deck looked sharper than yesterday. Her manager nodded. You make it make sense, he said. At 10:20, a news alert crawled across the muted lobby screen by the elevator. More centers closing after temporary funds ended. She watched a caption about wages too low to keep teachers. She thought about the veteran educator at her center who had left last week. The teacher had hugged Nia's son and whispered, "Be good," like a prayer. Back at her desk, a coworker leaned in. Leadership is leaning hard on 3 days. One exec said remote slowed women's promotion rates. Whose rates? Nia asked. Ours, the coworker said. But also not ours. You know. At noon, the calendar pinged. A late day ad. Visibility walkthrough. The invite came from someone 3 levels up. For PM would not move. She reheated rice and beans in the break room and called the center. If I hit 4:10, she asked, what happens? Late fee, the receptionist said. And the staff have to wait. We close at 4. On her way back, she heard 2 men compare commute times. 25 minutes. 30. One of them joked that his mother-in-law lived 5 blocks away and took the kids when needed. Nia thought about her own mother, a state away, working a hospital shift with no flex to call in. At 2, Nia joined the final deck review. The slides were tight. The questions would not be. She watched the minute hand jump. Her pulse matched it. At 2:55, the daycare number lit her phone. Ms. Carter, a reminder we close at 4, the voice said. We're short again today. I'll be there, Nia said. When she hung up, her manager glanced over. You can make it, right? If I leave by 3:10, she said. He exhaled. I want you in the room with leadership. I want to be in the room, she said. Silence stretched. Then he rubbed his chin. Let me ask if they can move you to first on the agenda. He typed. He waited. No reply. 3:12. The room filled. Nia stood near the door. The senior director arrived with a smile that never reached his eyes. All right, let's see it, he said. They started with an icebreaker about weekend plans. Someone mentioned a winery. Someone mentioned a youth game. Nia watched the time. 3:18. 3:21. She stepped forward. If it helps the flow, she said, I can lead with the forecast. The senior director waved a hand. We'll get there. 3:26. Nia looked at her manager. He looked at his phone. No miracle. She pictured the daycare clock. She pictured her son's cheeks when he woke up from his nap. She pictured a fee she could not afford to pay for 10 minutes of being seen. 3:28. She lifted the deck. I'm sorry, she said. I have a hard stop. Daycare locks at 4. Here are the two slides that matter. Page 8 shows the new run rate. Page 9 shows the risk. The rest is in the notes. The senior director blinked. We expect commitment, he said. I'm giving it, she said, and kept her voice steady. I will send you a 2-minute voice note with the callouts. I have to go. She placed the printouts on the table and walked out. The hall smelled like toner and coffee. The elevator took forever. The train platform was crowded. Her foot tapped without her permission. 3:41. 3:46. The train finally came. She stood by the door and stared at the map like she could move the distance with her eyes. At 3:58, she jogged the last block with her tote slamming her hip. The daycare door was in sight. The sign in the window read, closes 4 p.m. She yanked the handle at 3:59. The bell chimed. Her son looked up from a picture book and broke into a grin so bright it made her forget the clock. Behind the desk, the receptionist nodded. Made it. By a breath, Nia said. Her phone buzzed in her pocket. A message from her manager. You were right about page 9. They want a follow-up. Can you be in early tomorrow? Nia kissed her son's forehead and felt his hair tickle her lip. She typed back. I can present. I need a start time that matches a drop-off that opens at 7:30. If not, I can send a recording by 8. She hit send and watched the dots appear. They paused. They disappeared. They returned. She waited, her son's small hand warm in her own. The daycare door clicked behind them, and on the street a bus sighed open as if the city itself was deciding whether to make room. Chapter 2, The Map with Holes. Nia rode past a mural of bright flowers and pulled the stop cord. The community center sat by the library. Inside, a map of the county hung on a cork board. Red pins marked licensed centers. Big sections held no pins at all. A staffer with a badge greeted her. We keep a list, she said. It moves, but not fast. Nia added her name to 3 more waitlists. One center had a pickup at 5:30 p.m., but it sat across town. The bus took 2 transfers. The math felt like a riddle that punished a wrong answer. On the walk back, a woman with a stroller matched her pace. You headed to Oak Street? The woman asked. Yeah, Nia said. I'm Renee, the woman said. Single mom. I work mornings at the clinic. The center near me closed early 3 days last week. They reached the bus bench. Renee pointed toward the map through the glass. Whole zip code. No slots, she said. They call it a desert. Feels like it. The bus rolled in late. Nia counted stops. She thought about the center with the 5:30 p.m. pickup and the transfers that would eat the hour she gained. When the doors opened, her phone buzzed. A new message slid across the screen from HR. Company-wide in-office day next Thursday. It read. Leadership walkthrough at 4 p.m. Nia stared at the time. 4 p.m. again. She closed her eyes and saw the daycare door with the sign in the window. The bus hissed and pulled away. The city blurred by as if someone had erased pieces of the map and then asked her to make the commute fit what remained. Chapter 3, Price of the Chair. At her kitchen table, Nia set out her numbers. She wrote them by hand. Rent. Utilities. Food. Commute. Then the line that ruled the rest. Child care. $13,128 for the year. She ran 2 versions. 3 days in office. 2 days remote. In the first version, she added late fees for any minute past 4 p.m. She added a second bus for bad weather. In the second version, she added a small line for a neighbor who could cover 20 minutes at the end of the day. Her son babbled on the floor and pushed a toy truck into a stack of blocks. The tower fell. He laughed like falling had no cost. In the morning, she met the center director at drop-off. The director rubbed tired eyes. I lost another teacher, she said. He went to a warehouse with benefits. I pay $13 an hour. I wish it were more. Will you hire again soon? Nia asked. I will try, the director said. People love the work. The pay makes it hard to stay. At lunch, Nia watched a ticker crawl across the lobby screen. It showed a number that matched her paper. It said prices rose faster than other bills. It mentioned how many families lived far from care. the words confirmed what she already felt in her bones. That afternoon, the daycare called a meeting for parents. "We may close an hour early one day next week," the director said. "Short staff. I want you to hear it from me," a parent in a suit muttered under his breath. Another fought tears. Nia took a breath and kept her voice even. "Thanks for saying it straight," she said. On the way out the door, she added the early closure to her calendar and moved 3 blocks on her schedule to the morning. Her manager sent a note. "Leaders want you on the walkthrough." She typed, "I can present early. I cannot be here at 4 p.m. A dot appeared, then a reply. "We will see." She folded the paper budget and slid it behind her badge, as if a spreadsheet could work like armor. Chapter 4, The Week of Seeing. The company set out fruit and coffee for the in-office push. A sign read, "Welcome back." Nia arrived at 7:50 a.m. Her deck sat ready. She sent a 2-minute recording for the leaders who arrived late. At 9, a senior manager stopped by her desk. "We want presents," he said. "You will get results," she said. At lunch, a colleague whispered, "The men on my floor came back faster this year. Feels louder again." Nia nodded. She had noticed the same thing on the train and in the elevators. At 2:10 p.m. her phone buzzed. "Reminder," the center texted, "for p.m. close." At 3:15 the walkthrough began. Jokes about commute time filled the first minutes. She kept her face neutral and waited for the turn. 3:28. She stepped forward on cue and hit the 2 slides that mattered. Risk on run rate. Path to beat it. The senior director asked a question that sounded like a test of loyalty. "I am here to deliver the number," she said. "I also pick up my son at 4 p.m. The door locks. Give me a start time at 7:30 a.m., and I will be here with a fresh deck, ready for you." He held her gaze. "We value commitment," he said. "And I value a door that opens in the morning and closes on time," she said. She left at 3:32. The train stalled once between stations. She made it to the center by 4:04. The receptionist shook her head. "We posted the fee," she said. $20. Nia signed the slip. Her stomach sank. Her phone buzzed again. A new invite slid into her calendar. All hands at 8:30 a.m. tomorrow. In person. Drop-off opened at 7:30. The math did not fit the clock. She set the late fee receipt on the table at home and felt the ink sink into the paper like a mark she refused to carry. Chapter 5, The Teachers Who Stay. The next morning the center smelled like crayons and soap. A new assistant read to 3 toddlers and checked the door lock every few minutes. The director waved Nia into her office. "I need to be frank," the director said. "Funds that kept us steady ended. I stretch every line. My people love the kids. Wages pull them away." "What keeps you here?" Nia asked. "The children," the director said, "and the hope that this city will invest. Until then, I ask parents to pack patience the way they pack snacks." On the street, Nia called her manager. "I will present to all hands through a live link at 8:30, she said. "I will be in the office by 9:15. The deck is clean. The callouts are in the notes." He sighed. "I want you in the room." "I want to stay employed and pay on time," she said. "You will have both." He paused. "Send me a 1-page plan, he said. "Give me targets and what you need in return." She wrote it on the train. Early start at 7:30 2 days a week. 1 day fully remote for deep work. A backup arrangement for late meetings. Clear metrics by quarter. She added a line that said, "I do not miss a 4 p.m. pickup." That afternoon she met Renee near the park. "My sister can cover 20 minutes on Thursdays," Renee said. "She lives 2 blocks from the center." "What does she need?" Nia asked. "Gas money," Renee said. "And a thank you that sounds like you mean it." "I mean it," Nia said. They shook on it like neighbors who knew the weight of a door with a posted hour. Later that night she packed a small bag for her son and taped a note with his name to the strap. She set 2 alarms. She checked the bus tracker and charged her phone. She fell asleep with the plan open on her screen, a thin bridge between a clock and a paycheck. Chapter 6, The Fix That Fits 4 p.m. At 7:30 a.m., she slid the all-hands link open on her phone outside the center door. The director let her use the quiet office for 10 minutes. Nia spoke in a steady voice. 2 slides. 2 risks. 1 path forward. A cluster of leaders watched from a conference room downtown. Her manager pinged a single line while she talked. Strong. She dropped her son at 8, caught the train, and reached her desk at 9:12. Her manager called her in. We will try your plan for 6 weeks, he said. Hit the targets and we lock it in. HR wants it in writing. I want it in writing too, she said. At lunch, she met with HR. They explained a benefit she had missed. A pre-tax set aside for care. A small backup care option for emergencies. It did not solve 4 p.m. It did shave a few dollars off the line that kept winning. At 3:15, her phone rang. A different center had an opening. Pick up at 5:30 p.m. The distance concerned her, but the hour sang. You have until end of day, the voice said. She traced the route on her screen. It would take 40 minutes from the office. It would take longer on a bad day. The train map looked like someone had cut the city into puzzle pieces and hidden one. She walked to the window and watched the buses move. She could take the slot and risk the transfers. She could stay with the 4 p.m. lock and keep the route she knew. She called the director at her current center. If I stay and pay for a second caregiver for 30 minutes once a week, she said, can I list it as an authorized pickup and call it covered? Yes, the director said. As long as we have the name and a copy of the ID. Nia hung up and called the other center back. I have to say no, she said. The route defeats the hour. She sent her decision to HR with the updated plan. She added Renee's sister to the form with the pickup rules. She set two calendar holds that read for PM Absolute. She chose the door she could reach every day, then stepped back to the desk that would fund it. Chapter 7, The Quarter Turn. A week later, the promotion panel scheduled a case task. She had 48 hours to produce a forecast and defend it. The session time landed at 8:30 a.m. in person. Nia wrote to the panel chair. I will present at 8:30 by live link. I will be on site by 9:15. This timing keeps my child safe and keeps me on your slate. I will submit a clean memo ahead of time. Silence held for an hour. Then the chair replied. Approved. Your work will carry the day. Nia spent 2 nights building the model. She kept the lines lean and bright. She practiced the opening in the center office at drop-off with the director's blessing. On the morning of the presentation, she spoke clear and steady. She did not rush. She gave the number and the risk and the path. She took a breath and let the silence sit. The chair nodded on screen. Questions came fast and fair. She answered without heat. She closed with one sentence that came from the kitchen table. We cannot reward presence over outcomes, she said. Your targets require focus that fits the lives of the people who deliver them. She reached the office at 9:12. At noon, her manager called her into the glass room. The panel moved you forward, he said. We will document your schedule and the targets. I backed you. Thank you, she said. He lifted a folder. Sign here. We protect your start time at 7:30 2 days a week. We protect your 4 p.m. pickup. We judge by what you ship. She signed. Her hand shook a little. Not from fear. From the release of a breath she had held for months. That afternoon, the center sent an update. Her waitlist number dropped by 4. A veteran teacher returned part-time. Doors would stay open at 4 p.m. with a little more staff. She texted Renee the news. Renee sent a picture of her sister at pickup with a grin and a peace sign. At 4:02, Nia stepped onto the sidewalk with her son. The late sun turned the street warm and gold. A bus opened its doors and sighed. She felt the city tilt a fraction toward her. Her phone buzzed. A message from the panel chair. Strong work. Next round in 3 weeks. Same rules apply. Your plan reads as discipline, not exception. Nia tucked the phone away and lifted her son. He pressed his cheek to her collarbone and laughed at something in the sky. The door behind them clicked, and for once the sound did not warn her off the clock, but marked a shift she had earned.